I'd like to begin with the first scripture over in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. The Apostle Paul's writings from the letters to the Corinthian church, to Thessalonica, to the church at Ephesus, and the different places, he had a lot of instruction in his letters to the churches. Jesus had some instructions also. This afternoon I'd like to look at a little bit of Paul's instruction and a little bit of Jesus' instructions. He said, "And I, brethren," so talking to us, "when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. I didn't come to you with fancy words, or I didn't maybe have all my pronouns right and all those kind of things, or the wisdom of men, but I came declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." You know, if we know about Jesus Christ and that He was crucified, that's enough to get us to heaven, if we'll believe it.
That's right.
We know that Jesus was crucified, gave His life a sacrifice for us. That'll get us to heaven, if we'll take hold of that.
Yeah.
And if we'll believe that and apply it to our heart and lives. But He said, I don't know anything among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." I want us to notice in Paul's writing here, that the gospel does not depend on human wisdom. It isn't human wisdom. And you've seen throughout this meeting, it certainly isn't the eloquency of the speaker. But it is, through, he said, the demonstration of the power of God. That's how the gospel comes forth to you and I today. In demonstration of the Spirit, he said, and of power. The Spirit of God is very vital to you and I today.
That's right.
You know, the Spirit of God sets the church in order. It tells us in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians that it is through the Holy Spirit that the gifts are given in the body, doesn't it? And sometimes we wonder, well, where are the gifts? Well, get a hold of the Holy Spirit. And He said, covet earnestly the best gifts, didn't He?
Yeah.
We can covet the gifts.
That's right.
But we've got to have the Holy Spirit because He's the giver of the gifts.
That's right.
He's the giver of the Word. And Paul said, "I didn't come to you with my wisdom, or human wisdom, or the philosophy of men." It isn't philosophy. I don't come here to you this afternoon with my opinions and my ideas and how I see something. But I come to you by the help of the Lord in demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God resting upon me.
Yes, amen.
That I minister the Word of God to you. That's the way Paul said he came. Paul had an understanding of what the gospel meant. He said in Romans 1 and 16, and you're all familiar with it, he said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." I'm glad, aren't you, that the sacrifice that Jesus made didn't leave any one of us out. I don't care if we're Greek, Jew, what race, or where we're from, where we lived, it really doesn't matter. He died for every human soul.
That's right.
Whether they believe in Him or not, whether they're believing in Buddha or Muhammad and all that kind of Allah and all that, He died for every living soul. And Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of this. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." And I'm glad it still is that way today. So he didn't come with human eloquence. He didn't come with another object in mind. But he came bringing, speaking in the demonstration of the Spirit and with power that their souls would be blessed. That there would be understanding that would be given forth. That there would be growth and development. Paul's burden, when he wrote to the churches, one of his major burdens was that you be rooted and grounded and established in the faith. Yes. Folks, that's important today. Rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Yes. And established on a foundation that's not shaky. But a foundation that will hold solid and hold true no matter what you face, no matter what kind of trial God permits to come in your way. Folks, the gospel of Christ will take us through if we'll build on that foundation. But it isn't something of man's philosophy or man's wisdom and all that. But it is demonstration. I want you to get a hold of that. Of the Spirit of God and of the power of God. The Spirit here in the fourth verse is capitalized, capital S. Means the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the Holy Spirit here. So he was interested in the foundation of their belief. That's what he was saying. God intended to furnish us with a solid and a firm demonstration that what we have believed, what you believe, is from God, not from man. That's important, isn't it? My speech and my preaching and all those things, not to entice you with man's wisdom, but I want you to understand, or I want you to see, I want you to be able to discern. I want you by the Holy Spirit to know that this is not just coming from Paul here, but it's coming from God, that it may benefit your souls.
Amen.
That it may bless your souls. So we need the evidence then of divine power or the Holy Spirit in the preaching of the Word of God.
Yes.
I remember Brother James Bell. Some of you folks might know him. Some of you don't. But I remember him getting up in a minister's meeting several years ago, and he was talking about... maybe it wasn't a minister's meeting. I believe it was in his message. He was talking about preachers. When you preach, he says, don't give out dry food. He said, when I get up in the morning, I like cereal, but he says, when it's dry, he said, I don't much care for it. I like to have a little milk put on that so it'll soften it up a little bit and tenderize it a little bit. And then when the milk's put on it, he says, then I can chew it and I can swallow it down. But when you give it out dry, it's kind of hard to chew. It's kind of hard to swallow down.
Yeah.
God has chosen to use men and women to preach the gospel.
Yes.
To other men and women. That's just the way God has chosen His church. That's the way He's developed His church. But we're just men and women. Maybe things are a little different when we're up here. When God comes down in the Spirit and begins to anoint and bless His Word, things are different here. But folks, it's all for the genuine purpose of the benefit of souls.
Yep.
It's all for that purpose.
Mm-hmm.
There ought to be and should be an anointing upon the minister or the speaker that will have an effect upon the congregation. An anointing. That they can see that unction of the Holy Spirit ministering to them through the Word of God. And they can have that Spirit takes that to your hearts and defines to you exactly what the minister is speaking of. That's necessary for us to benefit.
Yes, amen.
For us to be able to overcome the conditions of the world that we're living in. For a sinner to be able to overcome the propensity and the power that sin has over them, there must be a breaking down of that by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Man cannot do it. It takes the Word and the Spirit working together for that to happen. That's what it's going to take to subdue the soul and to make new creatures and set the captives free. This is the Spirit of God. So you understand now what Paul's saying here. Now in verse 6, I'll read it again. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. We can clearly see here that Paul is talking to the redeemed. He's talking to those that are saved. The wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that came to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. What's he talking about there? Who's he talking about there? None of the princes of this world knew. They did not understand. He's talking about the Jewish people. He's talking about the state at the time that Christ came into the world. They didn't know him. He worked among them. He dwelt among them. He did miracles. He raised the dead. He taught them things in the temples and out on the streets. He ministered to them in every way that he humanly could while he was here. But they didn't know him, did they? The scribes and the Pharisees, the religious sect, they smote their breasts and said, I thank thee that I'm not like this man over here. They just overlooked. They didn't see it. They were blinded because of their religion that they had on hand at that time. But he said, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. And really, that's what I want you to think about tonight, the mystery of God. That's what I want to try to open up just a little bit. Is the mystery of God. They couldn't understand. If they would have really recognized that those Jews back then, those people back then, would have really recognized Him as the Son of God, would they have put Him to death? They wouldn't have put Him to death. These were the same people 5 days before that were laying out their clothes and palm branches and welcoming Him into Jerusalem. They were saying, Hosanna in the highest! But then 5 days later, they wanted him dead, didn't they?
Oh, my Lord.
5 days later, they were saying, crucify him. Give us that thief. Give us Barabbas.
Amen.
And crucify our precious Lord. In verse 7, we begin to see a plan. The mystery of God, or the wisdom of God in a mystery. The hidden wisdom. The thing that was hidden. We begin to see a plan now that is so divine that God appointed in His own purpose before the foundation of the world. Doesn't the Scripture teach us that Christ was ordained before the foundation of the world? For it was ordained that He would come and that He would die for you and I before the foundation of the world. God in His wisdom, God in His understanding, when He made you and I humans, He understood what it would mean to be human and have a free will.
Yes.
And when the free will took over and Eve reached out there and touched that fruit, it wasn't the tree of good and evil. It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Yes, amen.
And when she reached out there and she partook of that, and Adam partook of that, Christ, a God, knew in His sovereign wisdom and understanding that there would come a time that we and I was going to need a Savior. That was all a mystery. All down through the Old Testament time, all down how that God unraveled it through the children of Israel coming out of bondage, children of Israel going through the wilderness, children of Israel going across the Jordan River, going into the land of Canaan. That's all a type of salvation and sanctification for you and I today, isn't it? The promised land. The promised land. Mystery. The Lord doesn't want the Word of God to be a mystery to us. He wants it opened up. He wants us to have understanding. I remember back in my high school years, early high school years, I was taking algebra, and algebra was the easiest subject I ever took in my 12 years of school there. It was, for some reason, I got straight A's in algebra there. It was just easy. And I remember the teacher, he would tell us, tomorrow we're going to have a test, and there's going to be story problems on that test. And for some of you people, it's going to be a sad story. That's what he would say. And he'd get this big smile on his face. But I never had to worry about it. I don't remember getting anything less than an A on any test that I ever took in that subject. But that wasn't like that in all the subjects. But in that subject. You know, algebra was a mystery to some of those folks. the Word of God remains a mystery to folks today, and God wants us to understand. He wants us to understand what it is really all about. If God had a plan for this, and God knew that you and I was going to need a Savior, and knew that we were going to need a sacrifice, you imagine that He had a plan in regard to everything else? You think He has a plan in regarding everything else? He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for my life. When He started this world, He knew how He was going to end it. I believe the Lord God knows how He's going to end this world. I believe He knows. I see things the way things are shaping up. I think God knows just the very time. Jesus said He did. When He was going to send Him back. Alright. Hidden from unbelievers. Now, I want to talk about how the mystery is revealed. Let's go over to Matthew. This is familiar ground. The 16th chapter, where Jesus was dealing with the disciples. And let's see, 13th verse. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Now, who do people say that I am? Now, remember, He was a mystery to a lot of people. They didn't know Him. Their eyes were blinded. And they said, "Some say Thou art John the Baptist. Some said Elias. Others said Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And He saith unto them, "But whom say you? Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." You know, I hope we all know that today. And if we do, we're blessed. Because there's a lot of people, when I say know that, when I say I hope we know that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, what I mean is I hope we have that experience. I hope we have that experience of knowing that He is the Christ of my heart, the Christ of my life, the keeper of my soul, the grace that I need from day to day. I hope we understand, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Yes.
Good old Peter. In touch it was Peter.
Amen.
Always one of the first ones to speak up when Christ had a question. Always saying things that sometimes he shouldn't say. Remember one time the Lord told him that he had to go to Jerusalem and they were going to bind him and they were going to persecute him and all these kind of things and he must die and all those and raise again the third day. Peter said, "Oh no, Lord." And he said, he called him Satan. He said, "Get behind me, Satan." The wonderful thing about living for the Lord and salvation is we don't have to know it all at once. Or we don't have to get it all at once. Say it that way. We'll never know it all. But we don't have to get it all at once. The Lord requires you and I to receive as it comes. He doesn't ask us to go by leaps and bounds, to go past our understanding. He doesn't ask you to live to my understanding or me to live to your understanding. But He takes us little by little, doesn't He? And He begins to reveal Himself to us. As we begin to build and work on our relationship and begin to understand, Thou art truly the Christ, the Son of the living God, then He begins to open up some things to us. Now, I instructed someone right here in this meeting when I was praying with him at the altar. I said, "You know, when I was younger, I'd take my Bible. If there were things, scriptures that I didn't understand, I wanted to know what it meant, I'd take it in my room. I'd open the Bible and I'd say, 'Lord, here's the scripture. I want you to reveal it to me. I want to understand this.
Amen.
I want to know you a little bit more.'" And I said, "When the Lord reveals it to you, you've got it. It's yours when the Lord reveals it to you." And that's, to me, a very important thing. I've had some precious times with that. But He said here, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." I need to move on, really. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, I'm glad, I'm thankful, that we have an understanding of the mystery, that we understand enough to know that Jesus didn't mean he was going to build a church on St. Peter.
Amen.
That's not what Jesus was talking about.
No.
Jesus, Simon, was it, meant a stone. Meant a stone. Mm-hmm. But Christ is the rock.
That's right.
And folks, to rightly divide the scripture there, to consider that a church is going to be built, you and I today, that is founded on a rock, it would have to be Jesus Christ, wouldn't it?
Yes.
But it seems to me that when you look out in the world that we live in today, it takes the revelation of the Holy Spirit to reveal that to souls.
Yes.
Oh, we've heard it, some of us, all of our lives. And it's not hard for us to accept. But folks, let me tell you, when you're raised up in other religions and taught other foreign doctrines, it's going to take a revelation of the Spirit. The Word of God must come forth, as Paul said in our first reading, with power and in the Spirit, in order for people to get a hold of it and get an understanding of it. So, thou art Peter. Now, this 19th verse, I'm going to deal with this, and then I'm probably going to be done. But it says, Jesus went on to say, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. I want to deal with that, so let me read it one more time. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. First of all, Jesus was talking to his disciples. He was talking to those that were going to go out and have a ministry after he went back to God. And Jesus did not leave his church without some power over the devil. He did not leave his church without some authority. Now, he said here, I give you the keys. The keys of the kingdom of heaven. A key is an instrument for unlocking something, isn't it? Now, they're making cars today. You don't need a key to start it. But cars that I have, you still need a key. It's an instrument for starting a car, opening a door, unlocking the door. It gives the one that has it the power of entrance. Try to stay with me. I know some of you are tired. But the keys. Now, the Lord gave us something here, and I think He wants us to understand what He gave us.
Yeah.
He gave us some power, a power of entrance. Remember when the disciples came back after they had went out, and they came back and they were rejoicing because they had power over the devils? Folks, we can have power over the devils today.
Amen.
I was in a situation one time where I had to do a funeral, and I knew that there were some powerful spirits that were going to be there. I already saw them gathering in. And when I went back in the back before the funeral started and I was seeking the Lord, I said, Lord, I need some help here. There's some spirits here. And the Lord gave me that scripture that He gave the disciples. He said, I give you power to tread over scorpions, over serpents, and over all the power of the enemy.
Yeah.
Now, He didn't tell us to rejoice over that. He said, rejoice because your name is written in heaven.
Amen.
But folks, He gives us power. And I'll tell you, He came on the scene that day too. I marveled. I was marveled at how He blessed the Word of God that day.
Amen.
And what He did with those spirits. the key. The Lord give us something. The Lord has given His ministers something today.
Yes.
The disciples are the ministers. You know, when Jesus, when He was feeding the 5,000 and the 4,000, He took the little bit of food, the loaves and the fishes, and the Bible says that He blessed them and He broke them. It didn't say that He took that and He gave it out to the people, but He gave it to His disciples.
That's right.
And they distributed it among the people. The ministry represents the disciples today. He gives us the word to give out to the people. But he didn't just send us out there. He doesn't send us out in the work of the Lord. He doesn't send us out there. Folks, when you came and started this meeting, we've been in a battle this week.
Amen.
The enemy don't like these kind of things. And we need some power over the enemy.
That's right.
And God has given us some. He gave it to them right here. And He's still talking to Peter here. But it's an instrument. The key is an instrument for opening something. And it gives the possessor the power of entrance or access into that place. In the Bible, the key is used as a symbol or as an emblem of power and authority. And I want to read a scripture where Jesus spoke in the 20th chapter of John. And He said, John 20 and 21, He had arose from the grave. And He was in His body, a different body there. But yet He was still, He walked through the walls of the door. The door was closed. Let's read it. The same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when He had so said, He showed unto them His hands and His side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Now get the picture. He was getting ready to descend back to heaven. And He appeared to His disciples to tell them this. He came in their midst. And He said, As my Father has sent me, so send I you. Now He told Peter over there, I'm going to give you an instrument of entrance. An instrument of power. That when I send you forth, you know, what does that scripture say? I send you forth among wolves or something like that? I send you forth a sheep among wolves?
Yeah.
Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, now He said, even so I send you. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Without the Holy Ghost, we don't have any power over the devil.
That's right.
We don't have any power without the Holy Ghost. So He breathed on them and said, Receive the Holy Ghost. And whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Now, when we go out as ministers of the gospel, God has given us some authority.
Right.
He's given us authority over the devil.
Yes.
He's given us authority over spirits.
Yes.
And when we go out, we deal with those spirits sometimes. And those spirits are difficult. Those spirits can be stubborn spirits. They can have all kinds of names. Spirits of pride.
That's right.
Spirits of anger. Spirits of bitterness.
Yeah.
But folks, God has given us something. He didn't leave us here defenseless. And the ministry today, and part of the burden I have, and I've already said in this meeting, Lord help us, let's have a little respect for the ministry.
Amen.
Those are the watchmen on the walls. They're watching for our souls. And I believe they're up there in a position where they can see out there a little farther than everybody else can see sometimes. He's given us something. He's given us some keys. You know, it's important how we handle those keys. There's some power there. It's important how we handle it. We have a responsibility there, a great responsibility. When we are dealing with people's souls, we have a great responsibility. All right. He said here, when you sin, whatsoever sins you remit, they're remitted. Whatsoever sins you retain, they are retained. In other words, when you do it here, I will accept it over there. Whenever I give you that power over those spirits and over those sins and things that are in people's lives, and I give you power by the Holy Spirit, and you rebuke them, and you remit, they are remitted, I will remit them over there. Wow, that's pretty much authority and power, isn't it? Can't take this thing lightly, folks. You can't take this thing lightly. We're dealing with God. But He told His disciples here, I give unto you the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Peter and the apostles was given the divine power of opening the door of faith to the generation that they were in. Those that were unbelievers, they were given the keys to unravel the mystery of the gospel of Christ. And we see it on the day of Pentecost when Peter stood up and he spoke there in the second chapter of Acts, and he began to preach, and every man heard it in their own language. And he was preaching to Jews, he was preaching to Gentiles, he was preaching to all those that had come in. And Jesus and Peter stood up, and right then and there, God had given him the key to witness to those people and unravel the mystery of the gospel of Christ. Peter had it that day. He began to preach, and everyone heard him in their own language. Acts 2:14 through 36. You know the message probably. The power of the keys. It's like some of the gifts that are in the Word of God. Some of the gifts that are in the church. All those gifts, they're not exercised all the time. Sometimes they're only exercised when the Lord needs them to be exercised. Peter had a gift of discernment, didn't he? That's a gift, discernment. And when they sold all their possessions and they brought them all back and laid them at the disciples' feet, God revealed something to Peter. There were other disciples there. There were other disciples and people around, but Peter discerned. The Holy Spirit spoke to him, gave him a key of power and access into a place that you and I would fear and tremble to go. And he said, why have you lied to the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
To Ananias and Sapphira. Wow, that was powerful, wasn't it?
Yes.
A time when hypocrisy was trying to creep into the church. When they were lying and kept back part of the price. But yet God revealed to His minister there, He gave him the key. He gave him some power and authority. And He said, why? And He told him, you're going to fall down. And he did fall down and die, didn't he? And his wife did too. You know what that did? The Bible says, in great fear came upon them all. You know, Peter took the Lord at His word. I'm going to give you some keys. I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Folks, that isn't something we take lightly. That isn't so, that's something that we better be on our faces before God. Lord, help me to always do right, even if I don't understand what right is. Lord, I don't want to mishandle Your word. I don't want to misuse Your word. Lord, I don't want to mishandle an individual. Lord, I don't want to give someone bad counsel. Lord, I don't want to lead someone off in a direction that they ought not to be going. Oh, what a responsibility that it weighs on us. We've lost some good preachers in their 50s. Good preachers. Brother Charles Taylor, Brother Lewis Kimball, Brother Herschel Harker.
Yes.
In their 50s. Because this weighs heavy upon us. We take this seriously.
Yes.
This is a great burden. It's a great load. But God has given us some authority that we cannot back up on. You know, God told Ezekiel way back there in his day, He said, if I send you to tell someone that's, and let me paraphrase my words, that's not doing right, and you fail to tell them, their blood's going to be required at your hand. See, that's a great responsibility.
Yes.
And if I have that kind of responsibility of your souls, I'm going to need some authority from God.
That's right.
To be able to fight the devil with. Jesus said, I'll give you the keys. At the time that Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, it was given to him alone. I was talking about, I didn't finish my thought, I was talking about Peter having the discernment. We don't read where Peter had that discernment so many other times. We read where there was a man named Agabus in the Word of God. It doesn't say that he had a preaching ministry. It doesn't say that at all. But God gave him a discernment and told Apostle Paul, he picked up that girdle, didn't he? The man that wears this girdle right here, he's going to go and he's going to be persecuted and all these things are going to happen to him. God showed him that. But we don't read where Agabus did that all the time. But we read where Agabus told him, he said, Agabus stood up one other time over there in the book of Acts, and he told him that he said, there's a famine that's going to come in a year or two, whatever, I think it was a year. There's a famine that's going to come. We need to get some things together and we need to get prepared. And they believed him.
Yes.
And the famine came. And they had the things on hand they needed to get through the famine. You know? I know, and I say this with love in my heart, folks. We need to believe the ministry. We need to believe the gospel today. When we see it come forth like Paul did, like Paul said he came, just in Jesus Christ and Him crucified, not with great words of man's wisdom and all those kind of things and philosophies of this world. He said to beware of vain philosophies.
Amen.
And deceits and things of this world. Beware of those kind of things. So we have a responsibility and a duty, and it's all about souls. It's all about souls, really. That's what we've been doing all week long. We've had the care of souls upon our hearts, the love of souls. The power unbinding, he said that whatsoever ye shall. Now, thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. In other words, I'm going to give you some power. You bind it there. And I'll bind it here. But I'll tell you, he didn't say it in here, but I'll tell you, when we take on that kind of authority as ministers, we better be careful what we're binding. And we better be careful what we're turning loose. We need some discernment and wisdom. We need some wisdom. We need a lot of wisdom.
Yes.
The power of binding and loosing on earth was given to the other apostles also. It was given to all of them. The phrase to bind or loose was often used by the Jews. It meant to prohibit or permit or to allow. It meant to forbid it or allow it to be done. It meant to put a sanction on something. Whether you say yes or whether you say no. He meant that whatsoever that they forbade in the church would have divine authority, and whatever they permitted or commanded should also have divine authority. I don't know if you can accept that or not. That's what Jesus was telling His disciples. Divine authority. God has given us that because we're fighting an enemy, the devil. He's given us all power, folks. If you have the Holy Spirit, you have power. Didn't He say, when you shall receive power after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you? You've got some power. We've got to have that power to overcome the enemy in our own lives. What good is it going to do me to go out and preach the gospel and try to help other souls and I don't take care of my own life?
That's right.
And my own soul.
Help us, Lord.
I don't want to miss it either. I want to go to heaven too. He said if the thing, when we do those things, that we would have God's approval upon them. In other words, our disciples, Peter, James, John, and all of them, they were to be guided infallibly. You know, that's the way the Holy Spirit leads. Infallibly. The Holy Spirit doesn't make mistakes. And that makes it difficult for us because we're human and we make mistakes. And that makes us have to be on our knees before God. That makes us have to be as humble as we can possibly get. Recognizing and acknowledging that we are nothing without Him. That we can do nothing without Him. We have no authority without Him. We really don't have any ability. Now there's some people that have ability with things, but we really cannot, will not be successful without the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, amen.
All of us upon us. We need that. Without it, you're going to find a church that is living in shallowness, weakness, people drifting, getting sleepy spiritually. You're going to find those things if we don't have a church that's filled with the Holy Spirit. But God has designed His church that we be filled with the Holy Spirit. They were to be guided infallibly in the organization of the church. You know, this is the early church now that I'm talking about. It was organized. I mean, it was brought together through the preaching and the teaching and the people getting saved. Not man's organization. The organization of the Spirit and of God.
Amen.
But man had to have some authority there. They were dealing with devils. Who was it that was going along and this fellow was coming behind him and he had been a sorcerer and he wanted them to give him, he wanted to give him money that he could have that, pray and they could receive the Holy Ghost. See, they had to deal with those kind of things. Folks, look at the spirits that's been turned loose in our world today.
Yes, amen.
Look at the spirits that have been turned loose in our world today.
Yeah.
I've dealt with people at altars with multiple personalities. I've dealt with people that are schizophrenic. Folks, you can discern, you can feel the devil right there. And when you want to, when they come to the altar on their own accord, but yet when you talk to them, you want to pray with them, you can see the fear well up within them. They're afraid and they don't know what to do and how to handle. They don't know what's going to happen. We need some power. Jesus said, "I give unto you the keys." He gave us access into those things by the teaching of Christ and by the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Paul said, "I don't come unto you any way except to know that Jesus Christ and Him be crucified." Lord, help us to keep the gospel that simple. You don't have to teach or preach something that's not in here. Something higher that's the word than what the Word teaches.
Yes.
But Lord, help us just to stay humble and keep this Word of God simple to where people can get a hold of it. You know, people's minds are out there today in this world, and their minds are being fed on so many things. Their mind is caught up. Their minds, some of them out there on drugs, their minds are half fried. And they really can't comprehend a whole lot. Let's keep it simple. That souls can be saved. That's what the Lord's called us to do. Now, I want to point out one other thing. He said again, "I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever shall be loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Do you notice here that he said whatsoever? He didn't say whosoever.
No.
He gave us power of spirits, folks. He gives us authority, the keys over spirits. This doesn't refer to people, but it refers to spirits. It's whatsoever, not whosoever, that you bind. It refers to the church's teachings of the doctrines or the commandments of the Scriptures. And I'll give you an example. I won't turn to it. It says in Acts 15 and 20, the disciples taught them to abstain from pollution of idols, from fornication, and from things strangled from blood. That's what they call it. Well, there's no gift in the Bible, including the gift of ministry, preaching. There's no gift that can be effective in the church of God unless the people have confidence in the one that has the gift.
That's right.
You've got to have confidence in that individual.
Yes.
And I understand that it takes time to build up confidence. I understand that. It takes time. The Bible says try the spirits, doesn't it? And it takes time to try the spirits. It takes time to listen to a brother or a sister that is ministering to you that maybe has come from out of town somewhere. It takes time to get to know them. And it takes time for you to be able to discern what the real burden of their heart is. But whenever you have discerned that and the Lord has revealed it to you, it's time then to take it into heart. It's time then to receive it. When you are settled in your mind and in your heart, this person's not out to deceive me. This person has a true care and a love for my soul. Then it's time to receive it, folks. Remember over on in John 6th chapter in the 53rd verse down in that area somewhere where Jesus was teaching the disciples. And he said, except ye eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have any life in you. Wow. That was a hard saying, wasn't it? What do you mean, eat your body and drink your blood? And he said it was a hard saying, and from that time many went away. He looked at old Peter. Peter, you going to go away too? Where am I going to go? Where am I going to go? Folks, hell's not an option this afternoon. That's not an option for me. I don't see that as an option. I want to go to heaven.
Yes.
I'm going to get there by the grace of God.
Yes. Amen.
Where else are we going to go? We're going to go back to the world? Going to go back doing those kind of things? I gave my wife that choice one time when she said, if you wasn't a preacher, we wouldn't have to be dealing with so many problems. I said, you want me to go back living the way I was? She said, no.
Amen.
I said, then I guess we're going to have to deal with this. You know, you know how it is, preacher. You sit there in your chair and the phone, minding your own business, and the phone rings, and boom. You're either in trouble or about to get in trouble. Where else are we going to go, folks? Jesus, Peter said, where else are we going to go?
Yes.
You have the words of eternal life.
Yes. Yes.
Saints, I tell you, we got the best thing that there is in this world.
Amen. Amen.
We got the best thing. We got the Word and the Holy Spirit, and they are agreeing together. And He is dealing and working with our hearts, endeavoring to build us up, to be rooted and grounded and settled in the faith. And don't let any floods come along and move us around. We're sounded. We're settled and rooted and sound in the faith,
yes,
of the gospel of Christ. Let's read this last verse in closing. In 1 Timothy, Paul said it again this way. He said in 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, I would like to read the 14th on down. These things I write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the church, in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. And without controversy. There's no controversy here. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in the glory. You know, you can read in the Word of God and you can just get involved in all kinds of scripture and things, but I'll tell you, if you believe this right here, get a hold of this, the mystery of godliness, folks. Get it in your heart. It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Why else? Why else would Paul say, I was in perils, I was in darkness, I was beaten with rods, beaten with stripes, perils of my own countrymen, even perils of my own brethren? And besides all these other things that I went through, the care that I had for the church. The care that I had for the church. I'm glad God still has people that care about us. People that are willing to minister to my soul. People that care about me making heaven my home. I'm glad there are still people that way. But let me I just want to remind you this afternoon, folks, God didn't leave us without some power. He didn't leave us without some authority. We have some authority. It's by the Holy Ghost. And I thank God for it today. Again, meeting's over, I know. And I thank you for allowing us to be here one more time. I love to come to Miami and see you folks.
Thank the Lord.
It's a real blessing worshiping with you. Your singing, I wish I could transport you back to my place. Just for a couple services, if nothing else. I would love that, and they would too. But I love being with you and appreciate you very much. When we leave here, you go out that door, you're going to face the enemy. We're going to face the enemy. He's going to be waiting on every one of us. He's not going to give up. He's relentless. I don't care how old you are, Sister Mia, he's still out. Young and old, middle age and in between, he's after every one of us. I pray that somewhere along the line in this meeting, God has fed your soul and give you something to chew on, to grow on, to develop, to mature. Let's be mature saints. Let's not be satisfied with just the sincere milk of the Word, but let's be satisfied with some meat. Meat. Let's get something to chew on. Something that we can endure hardness as a good soldier in Christ Jesus. But remember, He didn't leave us without some power, folks. We have some authority from God, and I thank God for it. May God bless each and every one of you.